Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
And I've definitely had that experience of my children being perceived as rude, which basically like take out a knife and stab me.
What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood with Margaret Aples
and Amy Wilson.
And I definitely noticed there are completely different sets of manners in Texas and in New York.
A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas
so you don't have to.
There's a way to be good in the world, and those are the manners that I think still matter and that we have to teach our kids.
Hi, everybody. Welcome this week. We want to start off by thanking all of you who have reviewed the podcast on iTunes. It's really helping us find new listeners. If you haven't had a chance, please go to our iTunes page and give us a review. If you're confused about how to do that, you can go to our website, whatfreshhellpodcast.com, and there are really simple instructions to how to leave us a review. We really appreciate it.
Really simple 8-part instructions. But we do walk you through it. We know you're busy. So this week we want to talk about manners. I think, first of all, what I want to talk about is, do they still matter? And then sort of which manners matter. So would you like to hear a little bit about the history of manners?
Of course I would.
Do you
know? Is there another option? Is my only option A? Yes, I would like to hear about the history of manners. Can I request a brief history of manners?
I'm like your little kid, right, who comes home from school. Would you like to hear what happened on the play deck today?
Okay, so in my mind, I'm screaming no, but I think that what I'm supposed to say out loud is yes. Okay, yes, I would like to hear an extremely encapsulated brief history of manners.
Okay, so, I mean, yeah, if you want to do a deep dive, there's a website called Etiquipedia. With one T instead of two.
I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that zero of our listeners are going to etiquipedia.com. But
it's
God bless you.
Amazing.
If you're into this stuff, God bless you.
I'm into weird social customs.
You actually might be a person who would like spend time on Edukipedia. Wait, what is it?
It's Etiquipedia with one T because, you know, to confuse you. It has everything from cowboy etiquette to Japanese tea etiquette to the difference between 16th and 17th century etiquette, and I love that stuff. So I won't give you all of it.
Please don't. I beg you on behalf of myself and our listeners.
But the first recorded manners instruction is from ancient Egypt. There is a guy named Pahotep.
You are
sorry
so
if
happy
I'm mispronouncing
right
that. Sorry, Pahotep, if I'm mispronouncing that. And he wrote on papyrus some manners. And it was around 2300 BC. And his sort of big things were don't gossip.
It's a good one.
And yeah, don't stare at people. And when,
it's a good one.
When you're arguing with somebody, let the other person finish talking and listen. Don't just interrupt.
Ugh, we need a little Pahotep.
How about
right,
that?
Right about now.
Right this very minute.
Exactly.
So thank you. Pahotep. So manners have been around forever, right? But sort of do you think we're getting ruder? Do you have a sense that we're getting ruder as a
people? I don't know. That seems like one of those things that people are constantly saying. Like suddenly we're all watching too many screens, driving our cars too much, sitting around too much. Like, all right, maybe. But we are what we are.
Maybe, maybe not. So there's a lot of stuff that's gone by the wayside, right? Like snuff boxes, like how to use a snuff box. We don't really have to worry about that anymore.
I would say, yes, snuff boxes have gone by the wayside. What is a snuff box? It's like for sneezing?
Finger bowls. It's like chewing tobacco. Like a lady would have a little box with her chewing tobacco in it, and there was a right and wrong way to put in your dip.
Yeah,
in public.
I think we can skip over snuff boxes and also the nosegay. We can skip
over. No nosegay, no finger bowls. I mean, so really, there's not that much we have to worry about.
I'm remembering the time that I went with my best friend to a spa, and I walked out and she was extremely happily snacking and complimenting the wonderful place that had these snacks available. And they were, of course, the eye cucumbers that you were supposed to put on your eyes to reduce the puffiness. And she had eaten like an entire bowl of them, which I think were supposed to be the entire day's worth of supply for the spa guests.
That's awesome. But did they call her out on it?
No, we just
no.
Ran
they
away.
Were like, "Ma'am, would you like some more cucumbers?" So that's sort of that's sort of really good manners, right? Is according to Etiquipedia, really good manners is sort of about being kind to other people. So all right, so here's what I think matters about manners, right? That this woman, Tamara Adler, wrote this article called A Manners Manifesto for the New York Times 2 years ago, and she said that the way to sort of define what doesn't really matter anymore from what still does is the manners that help us to be good rather than to seem good. That there's sort of an old-fashioned notion. Yeah, there's an old-fashioned notion of manners that's, well, I know what a finger bowl is for and you don't, which is about making us feel
right.
Superior to other people.
And class issues and sort of like, look at how upper class I am. I don't drink from my finger bowl.
Right. And those sort of notions have fallen away, as they should have. But there's a way to be good in the world, and those are the manners that I think still matter and that we have to teach our kids. And
right.
I think that there's this author, Monroe Leaf, who died in the 70s, and he wrote Ferdinand the Bull, which is what most people know him for. But he also wrote these really sweetly old school books called How to Behave and Why and How to Speak and Why. And he talks in it about, he basically says to his young readers, do you live on a desert island? Maybe you do. And if you do, then you don't have to read this book. But for the rest of you who don't live on desert islands, you will someday meet people. And when you meet people, this is what you need to do. And then as the book goes on, some of it is still very important. Like you shake hands, maybe is important, but then some maybe is less important. Like if you meet a lady, you have to take your hat off. We can talk about that. Do you think that's important?
Well, I mean, one of the things I think that's interesting about manners for me right now is that my kids exist in these two different worlds. So I married a guy from Texas.
Aha.
And I was raised in New York, and we live in New York. And I definitely noticed there are completely different sets of manners in Texas and in New York.
Especially and how they speak to grown-ups, for sure.
How they
right?
speak to grown-ups, how they speak in general. Like in my sister-in-law's family, kids reference their parents as sir and ma'am.
And their parents?
Yeah, their parents.
Wow.
So if you say, would you like another helping of dinner? The child says yes. And then if they say yes, my sister-in-law or my brother-in-law will say yes, ma'am. And then the kids say yes, ma'am. And that's how they speak. It's just a completely different way. It's pretty much the same as please. Like I would correct my child to say, would you like some more vegetables? Yes, please, or no, thank you. But there they just say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And definitely I notice in Texas that there are a ton more manners, which sometimes is nice. Like, and we also have from our Texas branch, several of the young men are in the military, and they often, a thing I notice is like when a woman walks into the room, they stand up and they don't sit down until she's sat down. And I find myself, especially with my younger sisters-in-law, when I've met their friends who are military guys and I say, are you enjoying, are you enjoying your time home? Oh, yes, ma'am, I am. And I'm like, okay, dude, you're making me feel 1,000 years old. Could you stop calling me ma'am?
Right.
But that's a thing about manners that I've noticed. And you kind of project, like I've said to people sometimes, like, you don't have to call me ma'am because it makes me uncomfortable. But I think I've come around to feeling that you should respect other people's manner default systems, basically.
Especially if it's younger kids, right?
Or you should just in general, this is something that comes up a lot of times in my house. In our family, we call anyone over the age of 20 who's not a relative of ours by their last name.
Right. Mrs.
And
Abel.
It is something that people constantly correct. Like, I'll have people come into my house and I'll say, oh, this is mom's friend, Mr. Smith. And inevitably, they say, oh, it's fine if they call me Roger. And I'm like, well, actually, in our house, we just prefer for the kids to call grownups by their last names because it's, I don't want to constantly be like, this one you call Rod, this one. But it's something that makes friends of mine really uncomfortable. That
totally.
I make my kids call them by their last names. And so right. they're constantly like, oh, they don't have to call me Mrs. Smith. They can call me Anne. And I'm like, well, yeah, we'll just go with Mrs. Smith.
That's a New York City thing, definitely. The kids call parents by their first names. But then at some point it gets weird. Like it almost seems fine when they're 4 and 5, and then it doesn't when they're 14. It almost seems weirder as they get older.
Right.
But I was in this situation once. I was with friends, and they live in the South, and they said, you know, this is Mrs. Wilson. Ms. Wilson. And I said, oh, you know, they can call me Amy. And they said, and then the mom was like, how about Miss Amy?
That kind of is the middle ground, right?
Yeah.
But I think I haven't completely formulated my theory on this. So it's possibly malleable. But I think when you go to someone else's house, you should roll with the manners that are already there. So if someone says, this is Mrs. Wilson, you should say, hi, I'm Mrs. Wilson. Like,
yes.
Rather than getting into the thing of like, and when we're at my brother and sister-in-law's house, I try to adapt my kids to the ma'am and sir thing, although it's sometimes a little less successful with really little ones, but, or at least just kind of insist on like, it's yes, please, or yes, ma'am, or whatever kind of works in this house, rather than like, well, my kids don't do that.
That's
like
probably
your house, yeah. Your rules, your manners. That seems like to me to be a good default position.
What about this one? Do you? I have no problem saying to other kids who are in my house, "Yes, please," like that kind of thing. Would you like more sloppy joes? Yeah. Yes, please.
Say that to 14-year-olds?
Depends on how well I know them.
I say it to little. I have littler ones, so I definitely say it to little kids all the time. But I don't know. It would be a little weirder to say it to a 16-year-old.
It would be very weird to say it to a 35-year-old.
Yeah. Although I've definitely said it to my husband sometimes, who's 43. Yes, please.
But I do think
that that's a good overall manners model that is sort of a default for people. But modeling the manners very simply and just even not even just like yes please, like reminding them to do it, but I often say to my kids like, hey, do you want some more? Is it yes please or no thank you? Like just constantly kind of reminding them of that language as we go through the day.
So Mayim Bialik, I hope I'm saying her name
Blossom.
Right.
Blossom.
You know, yes, from Blossom and from Big Bang Theory and all that. So she's a parenting blog, and she created sort of a dust up and a couple years ago, and she wrote an article for Today. You know, she does everything. She's attachment parenting. She if we zig, she zags on just about everything because she wants to. Fine. But she had this whole thing like, well, I would never make my children say please and thank you. I just do it. I model it, and then eventually they'll catch on, and then they really mean it. It isn't me making them do it.
Yeah.
I think that's dumb.
I mean, definitely kooky, but I kind of see her overall point, but it's one of those things that I feel like, I mean, there's a lot of writing about like, you know, never yell at your kids, always speak to them in a respectful manner, and they'll learn this really heightened form of respect. And it's like, I get your overall point, but I'm going to go with the shortcut.
Right.
Like, I don't think you're wrong, but I think I'm going to take the shorter route there, which is say please, say thank you.
Because kids need to learn manners because that's how the world works, right? If you are, and you know, I want my kid someday in a college interview when they say, would you like some tea, to know to say yes, please, and have that ingrained in them, because it will reflect badly on them if they don't, whether or not they intend to be rude. These are just sort of rules for society that I think the sooner our kids learn, the better.
And I think that you, to go back to your earlier point, that you're basically right, that what you're trying to teach them is fundamentally treat other people the way you'd like to be treated. Treat other people with kindness. And in our particular society, one of the ways that you do that is by having good manners. And by being that there's a kindness in like opening a door for someone and holding it until they walk through it. And then it gets a little muddled in terms of the thing of, okay, but we also want to be treated equally. Does that mean that you shouldn't hold a door for us? And there's something about my husband, the Southerner, always, ever since we've met, and he still does it now. We've been married 10 years. Like, we went out to dinner the other night and I was walking in front of him and he made kind of quite an effort to pass me on the stairs so that he would go down and open the car door for me. Like, he's very gentlemanly in kind of very Southern old school ways, which I think is lovely. I also understand the argument of like, I can open my own door. This is kind of old school. And like, I am this newfangled woman who can open my own door and you don't have to do stuff for me. But there is something in the way that he expresses that that is, it feels to me really positive.
It's lovely, right? It's like a little black dress.
There's something very lovely about it. Exactly.
Never out of style.
Like, I don't need to like get into the depths of like the social mores that are sometimes damaging that are underneath all of those things. And it's something that I like. I just think my kids see that him do that and they see a level of respect for me and a caretaking that I think is generally a very positive message. And that is something that when we're in the South, I was with my husband's grandma and she got out of the car and there was a really like a almost cartoonishly stereotypical like young teenage boy, like kind of sulking with like a backwards baseball cap and looking kind of grumpy and clearly waiting for his family. He didn't want to be at breakfast, the whole thing. But as my husband's grandmother walked towards the door, he like jumped up and ran over and opened the door and stood there until she walked through it. And I was like, whoa, like those manners go deep. Like they're even overtaking like sullen teen who was doing a little theater piece on I Don't Want to Be Here. And still he saw an older woman walking for a door and he opened it.
Well, I think that raises a sort of an interesting related point, which these in New York where kids aren't necessarily trained in the old-fashioned Southern ways of ladies first, I have had to sort of tutor my boys in, here's something specific to New York City, elevators. Like you let the lady get off the elevator first, particularly if she's my age or older. This is what this person will expect, and so you treat this person with respect. And that goes to something that is also very important to me, which is that my kids treat their elders with respect. And I don't mean like Duggar family. I just mean don't be bratty to your grandparents.
Right. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to break. We're going to take our first break and share this little comedy piece with you. And we'll be right back.
What Fresh Hell Podcast presents Courteous versus Cruddy. Courteous.
Oh, to your parents. The money and time you outlay for my cultural education is appreciated beyond what you could ever comprehend.
Cruddy.
Piano lessons are boring, and they suck.
Courteous.
Thanks for coming to visit, Great Aunt Joan.
Cruddy.
I don't want to look at that old lady. Her face scares me.
Courteous.
Mother, may I have some of that delicious-smelling dinner?
Cruddy.
Yuck, what is that? That smells like a dead raccoon!
Courteous.
Thank you for the socks, Grandma. They're so useful, and I can tell they'll be cozy and warm.
Cruddy.
What part of NBA 2K17 was unclear?
Courteous.
Darling, I wonder if you might place your dirty socks in the hamper rather than on my side of the bed.
Cruddy.
The next time I find socks here, I will cut your feet off while you sleep.
Margaret, exciting news. I am about to have a new baby nephew, and believe it or not, this will be my 13th nephew.
Amy, you're ready to give up your amateur status. You're a pro aunt at this point.
Our family has seen a lot of babies, and as soon as they start standing or walking, I send them all a whole lot of Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 don't have ordinary diaper tabs. Instead, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your newly mobile little one.
Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, crucial once your baby is quite literally up and at 'em. And that gap-free fit helps prevent your baby from taking off their diaper, a habit you do not want them to get into.
You can say that again. And Pampers Cruisers 360 just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we even elaborate on the need for that, friends? For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
More and more, you hear about the importance of electrolytes as part of staying hydrated, because you need the sodium and the potassium, not just the water. And whether you're looking to hydrate during a workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing and without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. They're little packets you can just grab and take with you to mix into your water bottle on the go. My favorite flavor so far, Amy, gotta be the cherry pomegranate.
Interesting. My high schooler likes the lemon lime, and she keeps a few handy in her backpack for days that she has practice after school. These electrolytes have the sodium and the potassium that you need to go with it in the optimal ratio for daily hydration.
Visit sportsresearch.com and use code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's Sports Research, SPORTSRESEARCH, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate electrolytes order.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
Okay, we're back. It drives me nuts, whether it's at the playground or at, I don't know, like I have a kid over at my house. Many and many a time I will tell a kid not to do something, which is maybe rude, maybe dangerous, maybe like don't jump on my couch, you know, something like that, right? And you tell the kid, hey, that you can't do that. And they stop and they look at me like, are you saying words? And then they just keep doing it anyway, right? And I just, I'm like, who are these kids that haven't been taught that when a grown-up tells you to do something, I mean, if it isn't like set yourself on fire, you do it, right? I mean, I would have definitely listened if Mrs. Whoever told me to put that knife down or whatever. But I see the kids these days don't really seem to be taught that, at least in New York City.
Kids these days.
Kids today, what's the matter with...
No, and I think this is where I think that the new voice that's come in kind of like in our generation is sort of like letting kids have a lot more independence, kind of respecting kids' voices and, you know, throwing away like some of the old school norms in favor of letting kids kind of express themselves in some ways that are healthy, But yeah, I'm still pretty old school about, like, that doesn't mean you don't have manners. That doesn't mean you don't listen to and show respect for older people. And yeah, just behave decently, dude. Come on.
Remember Goofus and Gallant from the old Highlights magazines? I mean, my daughter gets Highlights. They're still Goofus and Gallant.
They still have them.
They're drawn differently now. It's a little set. Like, they made them all current, which I didn't wish they didn't do. But it's still like, don't be Gallant. Like, Gallant sucks. Don't be. Who wants to hang around him, right? I think that's.
Wait, do you mean, wait, are you saying Gallant?
Oh, I'm saying it wrong. No, yeah.
Goofus. I was like, wait Goofus. A minute. Are you starting a whole revolution against Gallant?
Gallant's kind of hot and he's the rebel.
you're team Gallant.
Yes. No, I'm team Goof. So team I'm Gallant and Goofus sucks, right? You don't want to be around Goofus. Don't be Goofus because he sucks, and be Gallant because he's the guy you want to sit next to on the bus because he's not going to poke you the whole way to the museum.
Well, my mother-in-law has an expression that kind of boils this down, which is just like, no one likes a bratty kid. And I think that you do your kid a favor by making them not a brat. Like, no one likes a bratty kid. And
exactly.
Like, yes, you don't have to. There, obviously, it's on a continuum, and like, you don't want to like knock every ounce of personality out of your kid and make them a little perfect automaton who's like, yes, ma'am, let me hold that door for you, please. Thank you. I always do everything correctly, because that kid is like, you know, who's that kid in like literature or movies? Like that sort of like Eddie Haskell type kid, you know, like the perfect kid.
Right.
You don't really want that.
Right.
But no one likes a bratty kid.
No, and so it's in their best interest to teach them to do it and not wait until it sort of dawns on them that they feel like doing it. I think that's sort of silly.
I'll tell you one thing that gets me, and I'm right in the middle of it right now. Thank you notes.
Yes.
They kill me. Bad at them. My 5-year-old, who doesn't really write, she can write her name, had her birthday party. It's going on 3 weeks ago. And I dutifully wrote down every gift, who it was from. First of all, in this day and age, I don't have anyone's address. That's problem number one. So, like, there's a whole area of work for me, which would be texting all of those people, getting their addresses. At the same time, I think thank you notes are important, but they are they're my bête noire. Like, I cannot, I fail more than I succeed in getting thank you notes out from the birthday parties.
Yes, they are important to me, and they're important to me that the kid do them. And then when the kid complains, you know, I try to point out, well, Aunt whoever went to the store, picked out a present, brought it home, wrapped it, mailed it, a lot longer than it's going to take you to write this note. But I did recently kind of declare bankruptcy on my 12-year-old's thank you notes from his birthday in July. I just was like, okay, this isn't happening.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting
took it off my to-do list.
Yeah, we're getting into the 3-week mark, and like, if I don't do them really soon, we're gonna whiff on it.
Is it 3 weeks? Is there a 3-week rule?
No, I just mean personally, we are now at the 3-week mark since the party, and I'm just starting to think, like, if we don't get them out, I mean, am I gonna send them 3 months later? It's Oh, thank you notes are such a good idea. But when the kids can't handle them at all themselves, I don't have the addresses. It's just like, oh, getting those thank you notes out is going to take hours of work on my part.
Yeah, yeah. Holding their hand while they do it and protest the whole time.
Well, and just like texting all those moms and being like, okay, could you send me your address so I can send you a thank you note? Ugh. I should do it. I should do it. But that's like, I'm like, could we just drop the thank you note thing? But we probably can't.
We could. But I mean,
it's brutal.
We do it. Although my sister just sort of wrote to me and was like, did Maggie get the Christmas present from?
Oh, it's so bad.
And I was like, yes, she did. But I had always sort of been like, Christmas presents are free from, I don't know why. Christmas presents are different.
I don't do first degree relatives thank you notes.
But I'm delighted when I get them, though, right? I mean,
I think you have to draw a line somewhere. Like, you're not in the thank you note writing business as your full-time job. So aunts, uncles, we say thank you. We call them to thank them. But I don't do first degree relative thank you notes.
Well, but I'm in a different place, right? So my kids are 9, 12, and 14.
Yeah.
And heaven knows my 14-year-old is still like, wait, where does the stamp go? Where do I write the address? I mean, like, what is mail, right? But again, it's, you should know how to do this, because he just had to apply to high school in New York City, and he had to write thank you notes to the people who interviewed him. And it was a good experience, and I made him do it. And of course he groaned about it. But if he's, when he's the 21-year-old writing the handwritten thank you note, he'll be the only one doing it. And it's going to serve him well in life to have that skill. So quit complaining and write the note. But it does take quite a lot of nagging.
Yeah, I have to do it. All right, I'm guilted into it. We're going to spend some
time
this
afternoon.
I'm going to
nag you until you...
No,
yeah,
I need it.
It stinks when you're writing
your thank you notes. Thank you notes are the bane of my existence.
All right, well, let's talk about... All right, so thank you notes matter. Handshakes with eye contact. That is my husband's... I mean, I guess it's kind of important to me. It's really important to him.
Handshakes, so my kids with all have eye contact.
My kids have unusually firm, like, hello, it is nice to meet you. And they shake hands and make eye contact enough that almost any adult that encounters them says, wow, what a handshake you have.
Wow, good job, husband.
Yeah. So it's something that's important to him. And you know what? Again, like, that'll serve you well in the world. So just do it, right? It's a good skill to have.
Yeah.
Going back to what you said before about how when you travel in another land, right, that you right. have to take on the customs of the people. So I have a friend who's Chilean, mm-hmm. and her kids by their New York City peers, right, can hang with grown-ups way better than our kids can, right? Like all of her kids always, she has four children, they greet me, kisses on both cheeks, how are you, right? And if we have dinner with them, the kids are all expected to sit and hang out for a long time, and they're not having chicken nuggets either. They're with us, we're all together, we talk as long as we're going to talk. Of course, there's no phones, and their kids can really hang out. And my kids, I mean, I had that expectation of them too when we're with them, and it's good. My kids learn something. But my friend tells me that when she goes to Chile, her relatives and friends say, like, okay, well, we did make this other thing for your kids because we know that they're picky eaters and we know they're not really going to want to sit with us. Because, of course, in Chile, they could sit for like 5 hours. So there's
right.
So by New York standards, her kids are exceedingly polite and successful in an adult-centered world. But in Chile, they're perceived as these, you know, American child-centered children that need special accommodations.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, definitely manners are customs. They're really about your society. And even, like, Chile to New York, Texas to New York, like, there are... And I've definitely had that experience of my children being perceived as rude, which basically, like, take out a knife and stab me. Like, that's horrendous to me, like, oh, that my children would be perceived as rude. But sometimes I really do think, like, my boys would not know that they would be expected to stand up when a woman enters the room. That's just not a manner that we have in our house.
No, me either.
And
it's
so
a good one.
It's lovely, but it's just not our custom. And so there is going to be some of that. Like, you just have to kind of, I think all the manners we're talking about are things that do help you to interact with the world in a way that is positive. But there are going to be cross-cultural things that just kind of get lost in translation.
There are, but there's a benefit for our kids to sort of travel in those, right, and sort of pick them up. And if we've taught them to be self-aware and be citizens of the world and be good people because you're supposed to be good people, they'll pick it up.
Yeah.
Right. There's something called ecological psychology, which is where the broken windows theory comes from. That, it, you know, if you live in a neighborhood where there's broken windows and nobody fixes them, you get the message nobody cares. Right.
Right.
But then you go to a place like church or a, you know, a bar mitzvah in a temple that goes on forever, and everybody's sitting really quietly and really reverently, and they're paying attention, or they're behaving like they're paying attention, and that is the expectation of the moment. And I think that kids, particularly older kids, should be able to do that, right? And not be just given mom's phone every time there's something that's not about them for 90 seconds. Because I think they can. I think kids are better at that than we give them credit for. Heaven knows, right? You and I sat through enough First Friday masses.
Yeah. Oh, I have a story about that, which is the first time my husband came to visit my family when we were dating. We were in Florida on vacation, and it was Sunday, and we were going to church, and my husband came out for church in a full suit and tie, and full suit. And my mother almost died of embarrassment because in Florida, we all go to church in casual clothes. I mean, nowadays, pretty much everyone goes to church in casual clothes.
Right. If you're there, they're happy to have you. They don't care what you're wearing.
And here's my, like, again, like, nice Southern husband, like, fully dressed in this suit. And my mother, who is someone who is extremely attached to manners, I mean, still travels, won't travel on an airplane in anything less than, like, the full Jackie Kennedy, like, suit and pearls and heels. And, I mean, she has those old school manners. She really almost died of embarrassment as we all trotted off with my husband in his beautiful suit and all the rest of us in like shorts and flip flops, basically. And that's just like sometimes manners collide and things are changing in that way. I mean, definitely in my mother, when there's a movie called Mona Lisa Smile, and it's about, I think it's like, it's one of the Seven Sisters College in the 1950s. And they're all in like full Donna Reed, like crinoline dresses and white gloves going to class. And that is how my mother went to Smith, and like you were in full dress and gloves to go to class. And nowadays, like, I mean, the idea of like the college campus where everyone's in their t-shirt and jeans, and like things do change and like manners do change. But I think in general, holding the line of I have an expectation that my children will behave in a way that is consistent with what makes other people comfortable in order to express their respect and kindness for those people is where you want to be.
Right. Well, it goes back to what the Tamar Adler said about manners. Are there's ones that make help you be good, and there's ones that help you seem good. So right. It seems to me wearing white gloves to class is about seeming good,
right.
Appearing good, and I don't know, helping somebody who is really struggling with that same material is about being good. So that's really what manners are.
And
for
it's
now, I guess.
It's a little harder than I thought it would be in terms of like the consistency of having to reinforce that stuff. Like I talk a lot to my kids still pretty much on a daily basis about manners, which like they, you have to just constantly reinforce it. Like my kids say, please and thank you. I feel like they are fairly respectful, but they still just sometimes act like complete animals. And I'm like,
sure.
Guys, like, wait. And that's the public. I think there's a thing about manners that I've been trying to like land on and been sort of circling around, but there's something very public facing about manners. And it's like, okay, this is how my kids present to the world. And generally, like my son's bus driver, my son would get off the bus and turn around and say, thank you. And then go into the house. And at some point the bus driver stopped me. And she's like, I just want to tell you that your kid is the only kid on my route who turns around and says thank you when he gets off the bus. And I was like, yes, mom, win. I'm teaching them manners. This is so great. And I do think those little things matter and they help other people have a good day. And they're just basically like, hey, this person just drove me home. I should thank them. Like that's a nice thing for them to do. But at the same time, my kids will occasionally still like slam a door in an old lady's face. And I just want to be like, I want to just have them in t-shirts all the time. That's like, my mom is working really hard on the manners thing, but we just don't totally haven't landed it yet.
We are on this.
But we're trying. We are trying. And I do appreciate and think it's fine for other people to reinforce manners with my kids. And I'll do it with other people's kids.
Yeah, I mean, there's ways to do it that are polite, and there's ways that aren't, right? I mean, we certainly encounter living in New York City the cranky old lady. Like one time, I'm getting on a bus, right? I have a backpack on, and the person in front of me starts to step back off the bus, so I step back, and you know, and I bump the lady behind me. You bump me with your backpack, and I said, "Oh, I'm sorry." Well, what am I supposed to do? You know, and she just kind of kept going, and finally, I said, "I have apologized. I didn't mean to do it. I don't know what else you want me to do." And my kids were with me. So I think it's okay even for them to see people doing that, right? Sometimes people are just really cranky and looking for something to yell at maybe your kid about.
We had that experience the other day going in somewhere and there was an older man and my kids were definitely running up to the door, making a lot of noise. And he was like, "You boys need to quiet down now." And then as we walked in, my son was kind of leaning on the banister, walking up the stairs. He's 8, you know. "That's not the way you walk up the stairs, young man."
Oh, and I would have a little bit of a problem with that.
I think he might have said 4 different things to my kids. And I'm like, listen, God, dude, We're all just trying to get through the day. Like,
did you say anything, or did you just tell your kids?
I did. I just smiled, and I just he was cranky old dude. I was like, I'm not going to have a conversation that comes out with him being like, you know what, you're exactly right. Sometimes people do have bad days. So I just kind of gave him a smile, and I was like, we're trying, you know, but everything's a balance.
Right. When I've had those moments, I guess I do usually kind of let them pass while protecting my kid. Right. I mean, you can make eye contact with your kid and be like, it's okay. And then later on say to them, maybe that person was having a bad day. But sort of not like getting in a fight with them in the moment, then you are sort of modeling respectful behavior, right? Even with somebody you're disagreeing with in the moment.
Yeah, no, I think absolutely. And I think we've all encountered that like person who's going to yell on the street or correct our behavior. And it's like, no one likes that feeling of having their behavior corrected. It makes you feel terrible. But with kids, you're sort of like, all right, listen, some people are cranky, some people are difficult, but in general, we're going to try to show our respect to other people in these ways, and those ways are important. And as we say on every single podcast about every single topic, the biggest way you do this with your kids is by modeling it to them. I mean, Blossom is right. She has a point. Like, sitting there and rotely running them through a series of customs is one thing, but basically constantly modeling like, hey, we treat other people with respect because that's just the way they do it. That's just the way we do it. Can't argue with that. It is a little bit phony. It is a little bit just this social lubricant that like we all have to just kind of believe in, but like, so is money, you know, it's paper. Like at a certain point, we all have to kind of buy in order to make our day-to-day existence a little bit easier. And I think that's what we're trying to do with our kids by saying like, hey, this is how we convey to other people that we're trying to treat them decently.
So Tamara Adler, she's saying if there's a difference between manners that are about seeming good and manners that are about being good, she says that the manners that matter today are the things that unite us, bring us together. Those merit keeping, and the things that divide us can be put away with the fancy tablecloths.
All right.
I can't really think of a manner that divides us, but maybe it's that you always...
Well, the manners that divide us are like, I have a finger bowl and you don't know how to use it, and therefore I'm better than you. Like, that's a manner that divides us.
Yeah. Okay.
But at the same time, like, I mean, this is the thing. Like, there's class issues that come into, like, do you know the right fork and spoon to use? Like, that's manners. And those, I think, can be kind of divisive sometimes. Like, is this all about, like, I'm better than you because I know the exact order of how things are done? But at the same time, those manners are sort of part of this larger umbrella of, like, are we treating each other in this civil way? And so if people don't know your customs and know your manners, they're not being rude. And that's a divisive form of manners. So you can either invite them into your custom, teach them your custom, fine. Or you can let some of those things go. That's fine. But your overall point about manners being something that unites us instead of divides us is still right on, which is... please, thank you, shaking hands and making eye contact, being polite in other people's homes, eating the food that you're served versus saying that smells like vomit. Those things are great things to teach your kids. There's no downside to those.
Right. And then maybe the little stuff that has social currency, like the bread is on this side and the drink is on this side, to avoid embarrassment when they go to a dinner party when they're 25, you can make that a little bit more of a game. You can bring that up when you're in a nice restaurant. You can use that as an excuse to sort of play the role of being in a nice restaurant. And this is what we do with our napkin, which I still have to do with my older kids. They're still learning those rules. And they're
right. And that's where it's like,
they're going to need to know those once in a while.
You don't want to have manners make people feel uncomfortable, but you can continue to sort of work on and learn like other people's customs and how they operate. Another takeaway from today is other people's manners rule. So that if you go into someone's house and they use people's last names, they say sir and ma'am, they stand up when you walk into a room, it's not your job to be like, you don't have to do that for me. Like, respect other people's manners.
Yeah, point taken. I have done that in the past and I won't anymore. I agree.
And the other really, really annoying takeaway is that I have to help my 5-year-old write thank you notes for her birthday party. Ugh, I wish we'd never recorded this stupid episode.
My parting thought, and I'd like to add this to Etiquipedia, is that it isn't really good manners to use your phone in a public place to watch videos without using headphones. Can we put that?
Yeah, that's another. Well, I mean, this is the thing. Like, we need social lubricant. Like, do not clip your toenails on the subway, people. You could be like, oh, manners. They're all so foolish, and they're just imposed on us to keep us down. But, like, stop eating your meatball sub next to me on the airplane.
Yeah.
I mean, there are reasons that these manners exist.
Right. Yeah. And there's literally a poster on the subway that has to explain with, you know, stick figures so that it's understandable universally that you really shouldn't clip your toenails. Literally, clip your toenails in the subway. There's a little stick figure doing it. And another
stick
figure.
Yeah, that's a big enough problem that someone has invested money in posters for the subway.
There's actually a campaign to stop that particular behavior.
Please, if you're listening, tell your children that clipping your toenails is something that only happens in the bathroom. And then the toenails go right into the garbage can. All right,
so we've solved it. We have only well-behaved children from now on.
Yes, angelic. When you see our children walking in the street and saying please and thank you in a low tone of voice, you will know that everything we've said is true. All right, we want to know what's happening with manners at your house.
Yeah, like what matters and what doesn't.
What
do you
matters
care
and
about
what doesn't?
Having
I feel
a chair
like that's kind
out?
Of the crux of it. What matters and what doesn't? What should we keep and what should we throw away? So,
do you agree with us about the handwritten thank you notes? Like, should we let that go by the wayside, or should we?
Please
I feel like
say
you and
yes.
I are.
And say yes right away, because otherwise I have to really do that tomorrow. So please let us know.
Please text us today if you think that's okay.
You can join the conversation on our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatfreshhellcast.
Or on Twitter at HealthFresh, or on our website, whatfreshhellpodcast.com, where we're going to put links to all the articles we discussed today, especially at Wikipedia, which
oh,
really,
I know you guys
really
are chomping at
deserves.
The bit. You're not even listening anymore because you've run away to check out Wikipedia.com.
It's my new favorite website, and I'm not kidding.
And please keep reviewing the show on iTunes. It really does help us reach a bigger audience. And that's it for manners, guys.
See you next time.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Margaret, it's an exciting news day.
An exciting news day indeed, Amy.
A few years ago, we launched our first spinoff podcast, Toddler Purgatory, hosted by the hilarious Blair Brooks and Molly Lloyd.
And guess what? Now Blair and Molly are back with their all-new podcast, Unsticking It.
You know Blair and Molly as two busy moms and actors, and somewhere between potty training and the pandemic, they both felt like they lost their creative kaboom.
In their new podcast, Unsticking It, they are going to talk about how all of us can get back to what lights us up after motherhood. Amy, I need this.
Me too. And Blair and Molly will be talking to fellow imaginative minds. We're talking actors, artists, and creators of all kinds about how we can all unstick ourselves from whatever muck we're stuck in.
Follow, subscribe, and listen to Unsticking It wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.